God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom, the new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. They went and did it. The Republicans decided to vote for the borrowing and spending atrocity. And Mike Johnson has failed as speaker. Utterly failed. Far more seriously to me, far more serious, is the fact that I cannot conceive of how Mike Johnson trusts Jesus. I concede, I think he loves him. I think that's self-evident. The fruits of the Spirit in the man are profoundly present. The admonition to not fear. What was he afraid of if this monstrosity didn't move forward? Now, in a series of monstrosities, this is just one other. But truly praying prior to a vote like this, Lord, can I fund this? Can I vote to have the federal government mutilate your children in the image of pharma and the sexual left? Can I vote for that? What would God say? Can I vote to bypass the Roe versus Wade decision and to continue to have the federal government fund abortions? What would God say in answer to that? Would it be any different than if Mike Johnson, I have no evidence that this is going on in his life, I don't believe it is, but if Mike Johnson were to say, man, I've met a woman half my age. She makes me feel alive and she sees me in ways my wife doesn't. Can't I just have a quick affair? What would God say? Is it different? So they did it. Mike Johnson is a failed speaker. And what was the pressure, the timeline? What was the ticking clock? As I said last week, was it that God was going to take a vacation if this didn't work? If they didn't pass this, God would say, well, you didn't pass that spending bill. I'm going to stop providing the common blessings of air, water, and food. I don't think so, God. I think God said that. The Democrats, this according to the Epoch Times, have announced that they would rescue Speaker Johnson from ouster. Of course they would. He gave Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer exactly what they wanted. Of course they would. I know, I have friends in politics who say, you don't get it, Herman. You just don't get it. Getting 51% of what you wanted is, or getting 1% of what you wanted is better than getting 0% of what you wanted. What if that 1% of what you wanted cost 10,000 kids their bodies? A million babies their lives? Well, you got that 1%. Not all 1% is equal, is it? There's a judge in Washington, D.C., who has discovered that non-citizens have the right to vote in our elections. That's quite a discovery. That's an amazing discovery to figure that out. I can't find anywhere in the Constitution of the United States where it says that. And her ruling is emblematic of what Mike Johnson has decided to fund. Because Republicans, every Republican who voted for this stuff owns all of the outcomes of it, including the corrupt justice system that has judges like this making decisions like this. Washington, D.C. wanted illegal immigrants to be able to vote in municipal elections. Judge Amy Berman Jackson ruled that that's okay. They could do that. Listen to this logic, such as it is. Listen to this, please. The judge writing. They may object as a matter of policy to the fact that immigrants get to vote. Pause. Immigrants get to vote without being citizens? And by the way, are all immigrants immigrants, or is there a class of immigrants that we're deeply concerned with, such as illegal immigrants? So to restart, they may object as a matter of policy to the fact that immigrants get to vote at all, but their votes will not receive any less weight or be treated different than non-citizen votes. They are not losing representation in any legislative body, nor have any citizens as a group been discriminatorily gerrymandered, packed, or cracked to divide, concentrate, or devalue their votes. Judge Berman is a liar. She is a blatant liar. There are some 23 seats in Congress that exist solely because of the presence of illegal immigrants. Solely. Period. And those congressional seats are used to vote for things like this monstrosity that Mike Johnson owns. This is the Mike Johnson spending bill. And every other Republican who voted with it. Sad to see him fail as Speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene wants him replaced as Speaker, but that will cause chaos. Chaos. We see chaos. I will not even describe for you the video that we played on my podcast this morning, because you have to see it to believe it. And I frankly don't want to speak to words because I haven't eaten this morning. But it's just one of the savage forms of chaos in our cities. Mike Johnson has decided to fund more of this. If he were to have prayed to the Lord Jesus, to Father God through Jesus on this topic, God, can I continue? Can I vote for a bill that will continue to allow cities that take federal funds to allow fentanyl to flow freely and to allow cartel members to involve themselves in human sex trafficking and sex trafficking children? Can I vote for this? What would God say? So in my mind, Marjorie Taylor Greene is correct to call out the cowardice of Mike Johnson, who's about to be Minority Leader Johnson.
Well, this is a complete betrayal of Republican voters across the country. I entered the motion to vacate this morning after Mike Johnson brought part two of an omnibus to the bill to the House floor this morning and forced all of us to vote on a bill that would fund abortion up until full term, that doesn't do anything to secure our border. And this comes after people are seeing this video that's horrifying to every single American, where there's a large group of military-age men, illegals, rushing the border, running over Border Patrol, running over the National Guard. Speaker Johnson totally gave up every ounce of authority he had as House Speaker to use this funding of the government to secure the border for the American people. And it is way past time.
And so she's going to create chaos with a call to vacate the chair. Really? The video that she showed and that you've probably seen, and we're to say these are migrants bypassing border guards. No, they're illegal immigrants running over border guards. And I remember when people did that in the state, in the capital of the United States, that was an insurrection. Breaking into the country is not an insurrection, nothing like an insurrection. It's not even that bad, apparently, is what we're to say. He uses a fallacy here, the fallacy of, oh, I'm a fiscal conservative but a social liberal. There's no such thing. Being a social liberal will create fiscal madness. The two cannot go together. And, you know, it's a good soundbite, though. Chip Roy from Texas calls out what he calls social conservatives for not fighting against Speaker Mike Johnson's partnership with Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi with this borrowing and spending orgy.
We will be funding and therefore own, if you vote for this bill, Biden's illegal Department of Defense abortion travel fund. You own it. And by the way, all you social conservative groups out there, all you so-called pro-life groups, where the hell are you? Crickets. Silence, because you care about political power more than the very thing you say you're for. And you know who you are. Transgender surgery to the Pentagon. Where are the social conservative groups? Cowering in the corner. woke DEI offices across the Pentagon, destroying the military morale. You can't even recruit anybody to the Pentagon anymore. You're funding it. Don't complain about it while you're funding it.
What was the ticking clock in Speaker Johnson's mind that caused him to bring this to the floor? He said there was a time crunch. Really? We have eternity with the Lord Jesus. Other people are going to spend eternity apart from God in hell. That's the time crunch. Your little government. I mean, honestly, think about this from an eternal perspective, from God's perspective. Wait, your focus is your little government? I find it deeply disconcerting. Mike Johnson and the Republicans who went with him, and the Democrats, you knew what they were going to do. They're funding cities that let illegals vote, which is going to continue to rip America to shreds by creating countries within a country. Case in point, this is Ohio Representative Ismail Mohammed's victory speech, which contained not a single word of English. Country within a country. What is it the Bible says about a house divided? He should continue to maintain the ability to speak his native tongue. Why would I be against that? Here's what I'm against. Balkanization designed to destroy this country. The Epic Times is out with a report about how China is funding the highway of illegal immigration into America. Well, this has been well known by some of us for quite some time. It's good to see it in writing in the Epic Times. China is also one of the countries that bought Joe Biden. Mike Johnson now owns that. So does every other Republican who voted this way. Speaker Mike Johnson's partnership with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer with a borrowing and spending orgy will produce even more violent cartels coming into America, such as the case in Los Angeles.
We have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country that are coming into the country, and they are targeting high-end residents, and we are addressing that specifically in a task force fashion through multi-agencies.
Lots of these break-ins have been recorded by security cameras in recent years. Detectives tell me many tourist burglars who've been arrested often entered the U.S. through a visa waiver program. Many were visiting from Chile and other South American countries. The LAPD says there have been more than 900 residential burglaries across the city since January. And it's not just a California story. Police in Scottsdale, Arizona announced today the arrests of a trio of suspected residential burglars, all in the U.S. on the visa waiver program and suspected of being part of a wide-ranging criminal organization.
Well, yeah, they're part of a cartel, a series of cartels. If you're in the cartel business and you consider yourself a business person, your business is running drugs and sex trafficking and stealing property, why not expand it into stealing homes? You probably saw, it's in Spanish, so it's no good playing it here, but you probably saw the video put together by a guy with, almost a million TikTok followers advising other people from Mexico and Venezuela and other countries. Get to America. Here's how to steal a home using faked titles. Here's how to be a squatter in a home and seize it and own it for years and maybe forever. That thing went viral because of libs of TikTok. Normal people saw it. And suddenly it was taken down right after Biden's press conference. Barack Obama was celebrating Obamacare with the figurehead. Most people who are below the age of 30 don't even know how this has destroyed the country. We'll review that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I did a video program on this. I have a video show. It's you can subscribe at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. God built us with his money, which basically kind of a state-of-the-art television studio. It's nuts. I'm sitting in it right now. It's a three-camera setup and beautiful view of the lake, etc. And I just did this show, and I'm sorry, sometimes I forget when I record podcasts, but I think it's up right now. It's a lot of visual references to how Obamacare destroyed entrepreneurial doctors and entrepreneurial medical centers, quite on purpose. That same theory is now being used to destroy what's called the gig economy, which is really just another way for people to work, people who might not want to be employees. Young people have almost no knowledge of the poison of Obamacare that continues to rot this country, or the poison of how it came about. And I want to talk about this because on Friday, Barack Hussein Obama, God bless Rush Limbaugh, he stood next to figurehead Biden, and they together celebrated the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. And it was ridiculously difficult to watch. The video had to be cut multiple times, 10, 20 cuts for a 1 minute video, because figurehead Biden clearly squinting his eyes, barely able to see what is in fact about a 20 foot teleprompter. Barack Hussein Obama has not lost his ability to speak at all or to lie. He tweeted, 14 years ago today, I signed the Affordable Care Act into law. Afterwards, one Republican member of the House called the ACA the most dangerous piece of legislation ever passed in Congress. Another predicted the country would never recover from it, but something else has happened. Or to say it like Barack Obama, something else has happened. It actually worked. Oh, it worked. It worked exactly as it was designed to work. You saw the effects of this during the medically useless, deadly, politically motivated lockdowns of churches, schools, and gyms. It worked. Doctors afraid to speak obvious fact. You can't lock yourself away from a respiratory virus that's airborne. Can't be done. Just ask New Zealand. Or likewise, a fact. The size of the viral particles being it's 1/100th of 1 micron. The size in the masks, the holes in the masks, 1/10 of a micron, 100 viral particles can fit through one hole in the mask. Not being able to state facts like that. I think I might have gotten the math wrong, but the proportions are right. So doctors who take orders from the state, or worse, from algorithms created by the state, is what Obamacare created. And it destroyed entrepreneurial doctors. I want entrepreneurial doctors. Why? Because when it's their clinic on the line, they're going to make sure things are done the right way. And they're going to listen to patients. So let's go through some of this and how it all came down. The attack on economic independence really began under Barack Hussein Obama. I've already said, God rest Rush. And the Obamacare was a vehicle for many things. Among them, yes, destroying entrepreneurial doctors. And I found out this week, most young people have no memory of the lies Obama knowingly told to get this monstrosity illegally passed.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor under the reform proposals that we put forward. If you like your private health insurance plan, you can keep it.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it. If you like the doctor you have, you can keep your doctor too.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your doctor, you will be able to keep your doctor, period. If you like your health care plan, you will be able to keep your health care plan, period.
If you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
If you've got health insurance, you like your doctor, you like your plan, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
They knew that was a lie from the very beginning, because part of this was to make sure you couldn't keep your doctor, well, not in the way that the doctor wanted to be kept. The plan was to make sure that doctors could no longer improve their clinics They couldn't expand the size of a surgical clinic. They couldn't expand the amount of equipment they had there. They were frozen in time. They couldn't evolve. They couldn't adapt. They couldn't advance. The only way to do that was to join up with a hospital system who lobbied Obamacare into existence. Previous to this, about 10 years prior, these associations of hospitals saw that doctors were creating their own clinics. They said, oh, we can't have this. They did what companies do. They went to DC and they bought a law to make it harder for doctors to have their own clinics. That law didn't go far enough. Hence came Obamacare. Then came the insurance companies. And they came in and said, we want to force people to purchase procedures they don't want at prices they cannot afford, for services they do not need from companies they hate. And they got it. Look at the injection diktats. Forced you to take an injection you don't want for a virus from which you're not at risk at prices you can afford because it's free, except, of course, it's not free. Same technique. The transing of kids. We're going to force you to have your kids surgically and chemically mutilated at prices you could afford because your insurance is going to pay for it because of Obamacare. But at an eternal cost for your kid you can't afford, for something you don't want from a company you hate. That's Obamacare. That's what they did. They knew exactly what they were doing. And it reduced the number of physician-owned hospitals and surgical centers to a massive low. And again, on my podcast, you can see the visuals on this. There was this thing that happened to a United States senator. And I don't know if he addresses it well in the soundbite or not. But Senator Coburn lost his doctor due to Obamacare.
Just want you to know our thoughts and prayers are with you. I know you've had some health battles in the past, and you've always come out on top. And we're hoping all goes well with you.
Oh, I'm doing well from a health standpoint. Got great docs, and fortunately, even though my new coverage won't cover my specialist, I'm going to have great care, and I have a great prognosis.
So his new specialist, that was Jake Tapper asking the questions, his new specialist, he had to have a new doctor because Obamacare took his doctor away weeks after this thing passed. By the way, I said illegally passed. It did illegally pass. It was illegal from the moment it was born. It was a spending bill created in the Senate. Constitutionally knowledgeable people. No, wait, the Senate can't originate spending bills. Why not? Because the Constitution says so. Who cares? That's what happened. It was brought into Congress. So absurd was the passage of Obamacare that Nancy Pelosi worked with a member of Congress, Louise Slaughter. They were so afraid of taking the vote for Obamacare that you know what Nancy Pelosi was willing to do? She was willing to have deemed it to have passed without a vote. Here's the logic. Well, it would have passed, but people were afraid to vote for it. So since it would have passed, we're just going to say it did. They floated that idea. Obama said it worked. Oh, it did. It created entire classes of doctors, a new generation of doctors whose boss is an iPad. I'll never forget my beloved physician, Maria. I'd been with her for about 15 years. She worked in a clinic that was in a low-income neighborhood, and I couldn't get in to see anyone else. And I went in, and I saw, wow, a lot of people here don't have insurance, and some kids here are very sick. And I thought, wow, this is a low-income clinic. I went in to see Maria. I couldn't believe what a great doctor she was. Despite the busyness, she spent some time talking to me as a person, holistic healthcare, the whole person philosophy, about a half hour with me. I was with her for 15 years, and then her clinic got bought by the Franciscan Medical System, which is no longer anything like a Christian system and not the least bit Franciscan. Utterly destroyed. First time I saw Maria at that new clinic, she walked in with an iPad in her hand. I said, how's the purchase going? She goes, I hate it. I don't think I can do this anymore. Todd, I get to spend 10 minutes with you. And I have to ask these stupid questions off this iPad. I said, Maria, I'm not answering the question off the iPad. I'm not going to tell you my weight. I'm not going to tell you. She goes, you know about this? Yes. I'm not going to feed the Obamacare database. I refuse. So yeah, it worked. Because there's a whole generation of doctors who think that's doctoring. Well, here's what the code is to treat you. This is what the computer says to do. Of course, this was bought to bear with lies from the very, very beginning. A liar named Jonathan Gruber, an academic and economic theorist, admitted what he thought of you and me.
We just tax the insurance companies. They pass it on higher prices. That offsets the tax break we get. It ends up being the same thing. It's a very clever, you know, basically exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter.
The lack of economic understanding of the American voter. Well, that was him being kind. He was paid about $400 billion to help create Obamacare after he got done helping Mitt Romney create RomneyCare. Jonathan Gruber knew exactly what he was doing to America.
Transparency, lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever.
Do you stand by the comments in that video?
The comment in the video were made at an academic conference. I was speaking off the cuff.
And then another Massachusetts hero, John Kerry, from Republican, more likely his staff, came up with a great substitute idea. They said, look, what you economics nerds want to do is you want to say that for people with expensive health insurance plans, they will no longer get a 40% tax break. What if we instead just levied a 40% tax on the insurance companies that sell these terrible expensive Cadillac plans? We said, well, that's pretty much the same thing. But why does it matter? I said, you'll see. And they were both in that pass. Because the American voter is too stupid to understand the difference. So basically,
I was speaking off the cuff. And
until a second Massachusetts hero arose, John Kerry. And John Kerry said, no, we're going to tax your health insurance. We're going to tax those evil insurance companies. We're going to impose a tax that if they sell health insurance that's too expensive, we're going to tax them. And conveniently, the tax rate will happen to be the marginal tax rate under the income tax code. So basically, it's the same thing. We just tax the insurance companies. They pass it on higher prices. That offsets the tax break we get. It ends up being the same thing. It's a very clever, you know, basically exploitation of the lack of economic understanding of the American voter. Okay?
Conference. I was speaking off the cuff.
No, he wasn't. It was his shtick. It was his deep belief that we're all very stupid. And yet there were those of us who saw this coming. And Barack Obama said the Affordable Care Act worked. Oh, it worked. Some of the biggest hospital systems in the world have powers they should never have. We saw this in the COVID response. I've interviewed multiple families whose family members were murdered in hospitals. I didn't say killed, I said murdered. It wasn't negligence, it was murder. And here's how I defend that. Because hospital systems have been given so much enormous power, because doctors have been shown you will be order takers, what the iPad says you will do, what the authorities say to do, you will do. You had people like Stacey Ogresnik's husband, Ryan, who went into the hospital for a flu. He had 98% oxygen saturation in his blood, perfectly healthy, breathing well. First thing they wanted to do was put him on a ventilator. Why? Well, because they'd get paid. I think it was $50,000 to ventilate a person. And then they wanted him on remdesivir. They specifically said in writing, no vent, no remdesivir. But that's what they wanted. Without his consent, in fact, adverse to his consent, they drugged him. They sedated him, which drives down your oxygen levels. He didn't want that to happen. They forced it. Hey, his oxygen levels dropped. We need to ventilate him. When Stacy objected, she was taken out of the hospital by force. Had to force her way back in legally. When a doctor came in and reversed all this stuff, said, what are you doing to this man? You're killing him. What are you doing? Ryan started to get better. Then that doctor was taken off that case. And another doctor came back in and went right down the same path that Stacy knew would kill her husband. And it did, up to and including giving him a cocktail of drugs, the same cocktail you give end-stage hospice patients to hasten their death. Same thing happened to Grace, a young woman with Down syndrome. Same process. Yeah, Barack Obama said Obamacare worked. It sure did. It gave massive death panel abilities to massive hospital systems. And it helps snuff out all too many private surgical clinics. Now, there are cash-only clinics. I'm on the nonprofit board of one such clinic. We can't tap into insurance. We can't treat Medicare and Medicaid people. And praise God, we can't. We do what we can to make our care affordable by offering scholarships for people. But it means there's people we can't treat. But thank God, we don't have to take orders from Medicare and Medicaid or Obamacare. Yep, Barack Hussein Obama, it worked. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Obama, God sees. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is one of the funniest things that ever happened to me. Happened when I was in New York City, and it was the first time I'd been in New York working for EIB Excellence in Broadcasting and on the air for Rush Limbaugh. First time I was in his studios, and man, that was mind-blowing, by the way. It wasn't the Southern Command. That was the studio that Rush had in his home, beautiful home down there. I actually have a plaque from that studio that Craig Kitchen, Rush's very close friend and 28-year business manager, Craig gave me a plaque that was outside the studio. So I never got to go to Southern Command, though. And I was doing the show from New York with my friend James Golden behind the board. James, you've heard, if you've listened to Rush's program, most of you had heard him referred to as Bo Snerdly. It was his nickname. And James was doing that, and we had a call screener, Allie. Allie's a real person, one unbelievably talented woman. And I had told some Seattle stories, including a story that fish in Puget Sound were being found to have heroin problems. And I talked about this, that shellfish and fish, salmon, fish with high fat content were becoming unsafe to eat in Puget Sound for two factors. One was human excrement, and the other was presence of heroin in their fat cells. And this was a series of stories I did. And people called Rush's program, and they were referred to as drive-by callers. They didn't want to go on the air, but they just wanted to let EIB know, hey, we, like, this guy's funny, but he's lying. You got to tell him, to, like, look, Rush is really good at illustrating absurdity by being absurd, and this guy's trying to do that, but it's not clear that he's not making it absurd enough, and yet it's he's lying, obviously. So James, Bo Snerdly, got in my ear. That's what we say in the business, got in my ear. So, like, for instance, Randy could talk to me right now, and you wouldn't hear it, but I would. And James has this deep voice. Hey, Todd, callers. And he went and said, drive-by callers are saying you're lying. You got to, like, and I said, no, I'm not lying. And I actually said in there, James is talking to me in my ear, saying that I'm lying. No, guys, this is real. And they put up these links at rushlimbaugh.com that so people could click and go, oh my gosh, wait, fish have heroin in their fat cells? Yes. And human excrement? Yes, because the government there had been dumping at one point 750 million gallons of human excrement into Puget Sound, the same government that was suing property owners for having their septic tanks in their backyard. They were pretending that that was why Puget Sound was becoming so overrun with sewage. No, it was because of their processing centers and the heroin. Guys, I'm not trying to be gross. I'm really not. I'm just trying to be accurate. The heroin was washing into Puget Sound from downtown Seattle, where people were relieving themselves on the sidewalk. Now, this from March 15th, 2024, KRON4, San Francisco. The San Francisco Baykeeper said it is taking legal action against the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission and the city after sewage and trash-filled runoff flowed into the bay during heavy rainstorms. According to Baykeeper, the discharges an average of 1.2 billion gallons of combined stormwater runoff and sewage every day. About 6% of its total discharge is sewage, environmental advocates said. In a wet year, that is enough to fill 180 Olympic-sized swimming pools. Now, of course, San Francisco is the place of electric cars because they care about the planet, you hater. Orange Hitler racist. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like the leaders of San Francisco on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babbling.
Truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents.
The president takes shouty questions. I understand, John. I understand. I've dealt with this question about three times already. I understand. It is.
The Tower of Babbling.
It's something she understands. In the Tower of Babbling, we present three sound bites, usually three, that I think back up my notion that God lets these so-called leaders stand atop these teetering towers so we can observe all their great wisdom. CBS News has a brand new view on insurrections, but only one performed by illegal immigrants attacking federal officers to break into America.
We're going to turn now to some dramatic video from the southern border, likely to add fuel to the political showdown over immigration and border security. The footage you're about to see, taken by a New York Post journalist, shows what appears to be a group of migrants pulling a section of razor wire fencing aside and then pushing past members of the Texas National Guard.
Bottom line, Tony, is that these images clearly show that there's a tragic combination of a broken system and desperation.
A broken system and desperation. A broken system and desperation. Nope. An engine breaks. Driving along and God forbid it happened to you, you lose a cylinder. That's an engine breaking. Pulling up to a gas station and going, wow, gas is awfully expensive. I'm not going to buy any. Instead, I'm going to use sugar water in my gas tank. That's breaking the system. Our system is being purposely broken to destroy the Electoral College. And Mike Johnson is fine with that. He voted to continue it. So did some other Republicans. Just in case anyone wonders why I call her the spokesliar for the people who run Joe Biden, here's an object lesson.
Thanks. Has the president seen that dramatic video of migrants surging past National Guardsmen in Texas and in El Paso?
I mean, look, I have not spoken to the president about that video. What I can say is this. I really, truly believe that's a question for, the Republican governor of Texas, right? This is something that he should address.
That literally sucks the breath from one, if you know the facts. First of all, an aside comment. Did you notice that they're all using the same phrase? Migrants surging past border guards. CBS said it. That reporter said it. It's a talking point. They didn't surge past. They ran over them. They knocked them down. And they're not migrants. I mean, they're migrating. They're illegal immigrants. And more to the point here with the spokeslayer for the White House. She says that Governor Abbott should answer for this. She works for the administration that has sued Governor Abbott for enforcing border laws. First, they didn't want the razor wire fences to keep people from coming into the country illegally. So the Department of Homeland Security, which isn't the Department of Homeland Security, it's the opposite, went and tore those fences down. They, in fact, went and cut the locks on the gates that Texas had put up. They cut them and let them in. Then Texas had these completely humane floaties in the Rio Grande River. They just couldn't climb over or go under. They sued to have those removed. And the spokeslayer for the White House says this is an issue that the Texas governor should address. That lie is, I don't use the phrase often because I don't like cliched phrases. It's breathtaking. It sucks the lungs, the air from your lungs. How could you be okay lying like that for a living? Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Very sad. In Massachusetts, a disabled girl was raped by an illegal immigrant. Here's how so-called Governor Healey responded.
You know, unfortunately, we have security and systems in place. We have vetting in place. It is unfortunate that you know, from time to time, things will happen.
Randy, would you play that one more time? I'm waiting to hear the emotion in the woman's voice. Just one more time.
You know, unfortunately, we have security and systems in place. We have vetting in place. It is unfortunate that you know, from time to time, things will happen.
We have security in place, but we don't use it. We have vetting, but we don't vet. And things happen. Systems break. Right, like when you take your car to the gas station and say, I don't want to buy gas. I will use Jack Daniels. And your engine breaks. No, you broke your engine. And they broke this system. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I love Venn diagrams. I really just love Venn diagrams.
On a Disciple's View.
We often wrap up the show with an observation, a political or a personal observation from me. It's just my way of letting you get to know me a little bit so you can better judge my views about how I came to be who I am. And what am I? Well, I describe myself as a Christian constitutional populist. And I had a life-changing discussion this weekend that you might hear me talk a lot about this week because it really, really hurt me. Dinner with a beloved family member, not the beloved family member who said that you can pick and choose parts of the Bible to follow. She happens to be agnostic. She's smart. She's talented. She's kind. She's compassionate. And she is terrified. She's just literally terrified of Donald Trump. Doesn't want to travel the world if Trump is reelected. This was so hard for me. A, to sit and see my loved one in this state of terror. And it's not, pretend it's not drama. She's not a dramatic person. She is a very restrained person, very careful, not someone given to showing a lot of emotion. She demonstrates her love through actions, support, loyalty, doing for people. To see her, that hurts. And to want to say to her, but wait, wait, wait. She said, Europe's going to fall apart if Trump is elected. It's going to fall. Europe will fall because Putin will take it all. And I wanted to say, but wait, 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 wait. Why didn't he do it the first time? Why did Putin wait? Why didn't he invade while Trump was there? But how does that help in a circumstance like that? Instead, I tried to find agreement where I could. And I said, I don't think President Trump is a great guy. I said, I need to be clear. I'm voting for him. She goes, I know, it kills me. I know you are. I just want you to know how terrified I am. I know. And I did say, I take a similar view of Biden that you do of Trump. I'm not afraid. And I think this is the difference. She's terrified for her kids because her kids are the dearest, sweetest kids. If someone stepped to harm those kids, I'd give my life to protect them. And if someone got away with harming them, I would have to be prayed out of not killing the person who harmed these kids. I would have to be prayed out of it. I love them so much. I told her that. That seems to touch her that I would do that. She knows that. I said to her, I think one of the reasons that you and I might look at this differently is, in all honesty, I, every single day, care less about politics. Now, hold on and hear me out, please. I vote. I'm politically active. I give money to causes I agree with. I speak at political events from time to time. And obviously, in this program, we've talked a lot about politics, but I hope with God at the center. The biggest change in me is that I view myself as a traveler here, as moving through this life to go on to my eternal destination. And in that way, I can view this as a short time. It's so, so difficult when people are terrified. We'll talk tomorrow about this specific piece of legislation from Texas that has terrified her. And the reason I don't want to focus on this unknown family member, this anonymous family member, except there are 100 million of her. 100 million people with a similar view. We in the pro-life community, we in the pro-actual scientific rigor community, we in the community of Christ, we must not attempt to draw people towards our position with fear and terror. It cannot work. We must warn them of the consequences of their actions, but we must use truth and grace. I'm pleased to say that we wrapped up our dinner with a hug and a characteristic, well, I love you, but I don't think our conversation is over. In the beginning was the Word was with God, because we believe, we speak, because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations, until we all speak again together through the grace of God. May His peace, which surpasses all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.